Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Browns fans, before we get started, just want to thank the sponsors of today's show. Aura identifies data brokers online that are selling your information and helps you lock down, secure, and protect your online data and identity. Go to Aura, AURA.com/dogs and get a 14-day free trial today and find out how much of your data is being sold online. And of course, Omaha Steaks. 50% off site-wide sale is still going on. Go to omahasteaks.com/dogs and use that promo code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, when you check out to get $30 extra off your order.
Welcome to the DOGS Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
Diving in today, big news just broke a couple hours ago.
Yep.
Jerry Jeudy signs a 3-year extension worth up to $58 million, correct?
Yes.
A good chunk of that fully guaranteed.
41.
41.
Yep.
I know when we first signed him, we thought this was a win-win for the Browns. If he played well, you had your future number one. If he didn't play well, you just let him go. Were you surprised by the extension?
Okay, so looking back last week already? Yeah, we talked about the trade and everything. But I don't know, man. As soon as, you know, we made the trade, we looked at the fifth-year option that we got him on, and it was like, okay, we just did this with Jed Wills. We're probably going to restructure Jerry Jeudy. And then we'll get into some Tony Grossi stuff later. And as much as I can't stand the guy, he had a good tweet the other night that I was like, hey, this is the kind of stuff I would like Tony Grossi to do more of. And he just said, looking at the Jerry Jeudy restructure, they added void years to the end of the contract. That signifies most likely an extension coming because you don't want to tack on void years and be paying the guy next year and in 2026 when he's not on the team.
Yeah.
So I think as soon as we restructured the extension, I started to expect, I think this might be a thing. And here it comes today. We got him 3 more years.
The biggest reason I'm surprised we extended him is because everybody told me we were going to have to cut our whole team. You know, we were going to be crippled by the Watson contract. We'd never be able to pay anybody ever again. We'd probably have to sell the franchise. We would never be able to field a roster. That was the biggest surprise to me is because everybody on the internet told me we would never be able to sign another player. I think it's a smart move by the Browns. We've seen AB kind of do this where he doesn't like to chase the market. We've seen some wide receivers go for some huge money already this offseason.
Yes.
And I think we're going to be a lot more of a spread open attack. I think you can see that with the hire of Dorsey, some of the other offensive coaches we've brought in, and some of the backup quarterbacks we've brought in this year. I think it's going to be a way different offense. It's going to be way more spread out. It's going to be 70-30 pass, if I had to guess, 65-35 pass heavy. So if you take the risk where if you didn't extend him now and he blows up this year, you can't keep him then. You know what I mean? Either you can't keep him or you got to give him so much where you're going to have other cap casualties. So is it a risk? What if he comes out this year and he's subpar and he doesn't perform? Is it a little bit of a risk? Maybe, but I trust AB can manage that in some way. I'd much rather do that than chase the market. It's almost a lot like the Njoku.
Yes.
People are like, look at all this money they gave to Njoku and he hasn't even done anything, blah, blah, blah. But they knew what they had in him.
That's just true. That's
you know what I mean? And now if you were to pay Njoku now, you'd have to give him top two tight end money, which he's probably already pretty close to the top, but he'd be, if you gave Njoku his extension this offseason as opposed to last offseason, you'd be giving him a lot more money.
Dude, that's a excellent point, actually. And, you know, it's not like the Browns went and traded for the only wide receiver they could possibly get their hands on, and he wasn't really the guy they wanted, but he's the one they ended up with. It was not that situation. They wanted him last year. They were trying to trade with the Broncos to get Jerry Jeudy in Cleveland. The asking price was just higher than what the Browns are willing to put forth last year, so we rolled out what we had last year. Wait till this year. We get him exponentially cheaper. And, you know, I think that Andrew Berry, I think they evaluated him, they identified him as a guy they would like to have on the team over a year ago, and now they got him. And if you break it down, so if we just look at annual salary, like, you know, I know there's guaranteed money, all that stuff, but if you just look at what they're making on average, the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL is Tyreek Hill at $30 million a year. So let's just talk about, AB does this a lot. He likes to do the going rate for guys, right? Because we saw that with Deshaun Watson. What was the going rate? Well, it doesn't matter what it is now because we've got him at the going rate 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Which has jumped a lot now. That's why he's like the seventh or eighth highest paid quarterback in the league. But if you just look at the average, this breaks down, I think it's like $19.3 million per year for Jerry Jeudy. That would slot him right in between Deontay Johnson, who just got traded to the Panthers, at 18.4, and Chris Godwin at 20. So his contract falls right in between those two on the list of, you know, the most paid receivers.
And I think considering the quarterback play he's had in the dumpster fire that was Denver's offense and some of the numbers that he was still able to put up, I don't think that's a terrible spot for him. It's considering his upside.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you're not going to get high upside guys. Like, you're not getting them for $5 million.
Who?
You know what I mean? Like, I think I just saw Mike Williams just signed for $15 million.
Yes.
And that dude can't even stay. He plays two games a year.
Mm-hmm. And if anyone was wondering, why aren't we going after Mike Williams? $15 million is why we didn't go after Mike Williams.
Yes. So I know some people, it might not have been the wide receiver splash some people were expecting. We even had a couple guys in our Discord who thought we were still going to make some huge splashy move and they wanted some big name wide receiver. And to me, this wide receiver is plenty good enough if Deshaun plays at the level we expect that he's expected to play at.
Right.
You need your quarterback to elevate your wide receivers. This wide receiver, is this the top wide receiver core in the NFL? No. But between Cooper and Jeudy and Njoku and a lot, like top to bottom, it's a top half of the league wide receiver core. And if you can couple that with a quarterback who you expect to play like a top 5 to 7 QB, then you should have no problem being explosive on offense.
No.
Especially if you can bring back a healthy Nick Chubb.
Yeah. At some point, right? But I think that, I don't know. I know that there are people definitely mixed and split on the Jerry Jeudy thing, but I'm definitely on the optimistic, positive side of it. I think that he's got some very, very high potential. And it's not like he hasn't shown it. That's the thing. It's not like we're just banking on, well, he was really good in college. The dude had some pretty impressive seasons in Denver. We detailed that last episode with awful quarterback play. We're talking Drew Lock, Brett Rippon kind of quarterback play.
What, over 800 yards as a rookie.
Yeah.
Put him up there with DPJ's best year.
Yep. Right out the gate,
you know, and then quarterback play only went down from there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like he started with a great quarterback.
That's right. And we said the season that they had historically one of the worst offensive outputs in NFL history, the Denver Broncos, Jerry Jeudy, that was the year he almost had 1,000 yards.
Well, and let's not forget, he played for Nathaniel Hackett.
That's the year. Yeah,
exactly. Okay. Yep. And what other offense was historically bad last year? It was the Jets.
The Jets, yes.
And who was their offensive coordinator? It was Nathaniel Hackett. You can put blame on Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson is not as bad as Nathaniel Hackett made him look. You know what I mean? Because we watched him as soon as he left. Russell Wilson he kind of got scapegoated out in Denver, and Sean Payton is a little bit of an egomaniac. But Russell Wilson had good numbers last year.
He did.
As soon as he took away Nathaniel Hackett, he went back to being a pretty decent quarterback. So it's one of those deals where the upside for him is very high. And it's not like he's been a scrub in the NFL. He's been a very solid player to put next to a guy like Cooper, who he's looked up to and can play with him. I don't know. To me, it's all positives. And I hate when people talk about the money because it's not mine.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I've heard some people talking about this is why the Steelers are so much better than the Browns, because the Browns put this much money into their QB room, talking about Watson and Winston, and then the Steelers go get Wilson and Fields for only this much money. Well, guess Jimmy Haslam's got it. It's not my money. I don't care how much money they spend on players. As long as as long as Andrew Berry can make it work in the cap and it doesn't hinder building the rest of the roster, which it's not, I don't care if you pay him $1 billion. It's not my money.
Yeah, exactly.
What is it? Why do people who paycheck watch are so weird to me? Why are you so concerned with another grown man's paycheck?
Yeah. If you don't like what you're getting paid, go out and get a better job or work harder, yeah, whatever you got to do. But that was another Tony Grossi post the other night that kind of, I commented on it and said, this is not the flex you think it is. He was comparing the Steelers QB. Dude, quit talking about Pittsburgh. The Steelers QB room contract to the Browns, and everybody was popping in there. And I said, too, that's because the Broncos are paying Russell Wilson $40 million this year.
Yeah.
It's not like he's playing for $1.2 million in Pittsburgh. He's playing for, what, $41.2 million. He's making $40 from another freaking team to play for another team.
Yes, the only reason you have him is because Sean Payton is so much of like a maniac that he just couldn't stand to even be in the same room with him.
Yeah.
That's the only reason you got in. We don't even know. Like, I think Russ will play well there. I'm on the record saying I think, like, the Steelers have done really well this free agency, and I definitely see them as a legitimate threat. Not obviously in the AFC North. They always are, yeah. But like, he's going to be – I think he'll be very good for them. But Justin Fields, as much as I think Chicago did him dirty, and I think he still has a ton of upside, you don't know what you're getting on Justin Fields. Of course you got him for nothing. The Bears completely tanked his career and then tanked any trade value it had by waiting forever to trade him.
Exactly. And I've said that to a lot of people in arguments the last 2 days since he's been traded, and saying, you know, I know they got him for a sixth, and that seems like, oh my gosh, he was like a great fantasy quarterback. But just because he was a good fantasy quarterback doesn't mean the NFL thinks he's a great NFL on the field quarterback. And if the sixth round pick was the going rate for Justin Fields, that's what the NFL values him at.
Yeah. So just, I don't understand like why you care about the money. And like when you talk about our quarterbacks, especially Deshaun, like you said, he's like the seventh or eighth highest quarterback. Now all the guaranteed money, blah, blah, blah. All the quarterbacks are going to make all their money.
Yes.
Like Joe Burrow is going to get all of his $275 million.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep.
So people are just, it's so dumb. And to be, when I say people, I'm talking about like fans around the league and a contingent of Browns fans. It's unbelievable.
A contingent of very loud Browns
fans. Yeah. So I think the Jeudy signing or extension, not only just the trade, but the extension, I think it's a good move by the Browns. I mean, if you look around their offense, a lot of these dudes are locked up now for like the window. We thought, oh man, this is our window. We're keeping the window open by being smart, in my opinion.
Oh, 100% agree with that. And then just one last note on this like Watson contract thing that I keep thinking about it, because yesterday was the 2 year anniversary since we made the trade for him and everything. And if you remember, it was an intense bidding war between four teams at who was going to get Deshaun Watson. It was the Browns, Falcons, Panthers, and Saints. So the Browns get Deshaun Watson. Just would you feel better going into 2024 knowing that he's locked in as your QB1, or would you rather be doing the Panthers quarterback situation, the Falcons quarterback situation before Kirk Cousins, of course, yeah, or the Saints quarterback situation? You know what I mean? All three of those teams have very much struggled in the quarterback department, and they've kind of sucked as a result of it because they missed out on this bidding war.
I guess some people would say Deshaun hasn't been the reason for our success,
which is fair.
But I also think having Deshaun on the roster is a reason we got a couple free agents.
Yes, that's that. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you can say whatever you want if you think he's good or not. The players in the league think he's good still.
And I see all the time people say, oh, the team hates him. You hate him.
Yes.
The team does not hate
him. The team definitely does not. The team 100% does not hate him. You've never heard anything from a teammate's mouth negative
all the way back
anywhere
to
he's
school.
Ever played. Mm-mm.
This episode is brought to you by Aura. Browns fans, if you're like me, you've reached a point where so much of your daily life resides online. Data brokers collect your information without you knowing, and they sell it to scammers, spammers, and anyone else who may want to target you. and that's why I started using Aura to protect my information and my identity online. Aura shows me which data brokers are selling my information and automatically submits opt-out requests for me. And right now, Dogs Podcast listeners, you guys can all get a 14-day free trial at Aura, aura.com/dogs, D-A-W-G-S. Make sure you go to that link on your desktop or your laptop computer. And once you set up your free trial, then you can download the app and sign in to also get protection on your phone. It's a great no-commitment way to at least see how much of your information is being sold. And as a quick side note, guys, if you have a grandparent or an older parent who isn't the most tech savvy and continues to get all those spam emails and phone calls, I would strongly encourage you to set up an Aura account for them or add them to your account under the family plan. These scammers heavily target the older age population. These guys didn't grow up with tech and they can't just easily spot when they're being scammed. And the scammers are so much more convincing now than ever before. My grandpa calls me at least once or twice a month, I swear, to ask about emails he's getting, claiming that his accounts have been compromised, his Facebook account has been hacked multiple times. He gets messages saying he needs to sign in with his password, he's late on a bill, he needs to enter a credit card for this or that. It's insane. And also, if you have kids, Aura is a great way to make sure that your kiddos are protected online, and we know how important that is in this day and age. Head to aura.com, aura.com/dogs, to start your 14-day free trial. Give it a test run, see how many brokers have your information, and even if you don't want to continue after the trial, at least you have an idea how much of your data is being sold. Again, just try the 14-day free trial. I wouldn't recommend this if I didn't think it was worth your time. I value my privacy, and I value all of yours too. Take control of your data today at aura.com/dogs. All right, so let's talk about Deontay Foreman. So first of all, let's just talk about the age of Deontay Foreman. He is 27 years old. He's going to turn 28 at the end of April. So if you've watched recent episodes, I've mentioned Ezekiel Elliott as a name. Obviously, I'm a former Buckeye. You can see the Buckeye helmet sitting here behind me. I love me some Buckeyes. I love me some Zeke Elliott. And the whole thought process behind Zeke Elliott, it was not, oh, he's a Buckeye, I want him. No, no, no. What I wanted with Ezekiel Elliott or a player like him is a guy that I know, based on past history, based on just this past season, can come in, shoulder the load for an NFL offense, for a running attack, take on some, you know, heavy carries if necessary, and perform and produce when needed. He's not going to be your bell cow back that's going to go out there and be a superstar Pro Bowler type of player. That's not what we're looking for. We're just looking for somebody shoulder the load till Nick Chubb gets better. And what this signing tells me about Nick Chubb, well, actually, we'll get to that at the end. But what I want to talk about is Deontay Foreman is going to fill the role that I've been asking the Browns to get a guy like Zeke Elliott, is what I keep saying. Well, Deontay Foreman for the Browns, this move is like getting Zeke Elliott. So he's 6 foot. 235 pounds. This is not a small running back. This is a very well-sized, big, bruising running back, okay? Played college football at Texas, and this was a little while ago. Like I said, he's older, came into the league not recently, but 2014, 2015, 2016 at Texas. 14 and 15, his first couple years were okay. I mean, his first year, he didn't really do anything. He wasn't playing. Second year was not horrible, nothing, you know, fantastic, but 2016, he went out and played in 11 games, took on 323 carries, and put up 2,028 yards with 15 touchdowns. The guy was a monster that last year at Texas. And if you hear anybody else talk about Deontay Foreman, have you ever heard they mention his Texas days? Well, it was that year. It was that year with the 2,028 yards that he just absolutely exploded down there in Texas for the Longhorns. That explosion in 2016 got him selected in the third round in 2017 NFL draft by none other than the Houston Texans. Of course, here we go with another Houston Texans link to the Cleveland Browns. But the thing with Foreman, this dude's been on a lot of different teams, and we'll go through those. But third round pick by the Texans in 2017. And then it looks like here, I remember there was an injury. That's what happens with a lot of these running backs where you see some college production, they come in the league and you don't hear much from them. There was an injury week 11 of his rookie season. Let's see. This says he had 10 carries, 65 yards, and his first two career NFL touchdowns, including a 34-yard touchdown run. But it was that 34-yard touchdown run where Foreman suffered a, unfortunately, non-contact injury at the 2-yard line. He fell into the end zone and started grabbing his leg, and that's where it was found. He tore his Achilles. He was ruled out for the rest of the season, placed on IR. And as we've seen, I've detailed this before on the show, Achilles injuries with skill position players, namely running backs and wide receivers, is like a death sentence. It really is. You do not see many guys. Actually, I don't think we've seen any guys successfully come back from an Achilles injury at the running back or wide receiver position. Drop it in the comments if I'm missing somebody, if there's an example. I know you might say James Robinson. No. You might say Cam Akers. No. Neither of those guys came back to be anything close to what they were doing before their injuries, and now they're essentially done in the NFL real quick afterwards. So the fact that Deontay Foreman, after tearing his Achilles in 2017, we're sitting here in 2024, 7 years later, talking about him. That's a testament to his recovery from this injury. Spent the majority of his second season with the Texans on the PUP, physically unable to perform, list. Not out there on the field while he was still recovering from that Achilles. So this one really hurt him. He ended up getting cut the following offseason by the Texans. The Indianapolis Colts picked him up. Then he was placed again on injured reserve in 2019 with a torn bicep. Then he got cut by the Colts. And then he got signed by the Titans onto their practice squad, got brought up, and then sent back down. And that was kind of the story of that year with the Titans. Practice squad, active roster, just kind of backing up Derrick Henry. Nothing too crazy to talk about there. Then he played. Then it looks like over the course of 1 month in 2021, he got signed by the Falcons and then released and then re-signed to the practice squad. And then he was released a couple days after that. So not a very long stint with the Falcons. Went back to the Titans for a second stint. Then he played for the Panthers. And that's where I feel like Deontay Foreman finally got some of his career back, was in Carolina back in 2022. That year in Carolina was a career year for him. He had 203 carries. First of all, he played in 17 games. That's the number that stood out, popped off the page for me when I was looking at stats for Deontay Foreman. You know, it was injury, 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 cut, released, all this stuff from these other teams. Boom. Carolina Panthers, 17 games, takes on 203 carries, 914 yards, 5 touchdowns, average 4.5 yards a carry. And I doubt he had much. 5 catches for 26 yards. He's not a receiving back. He's a big bruising back. He's going to take over probably for the Browns what Kareem Hunt was doing, would be my guess, because we don't have anybody in that role right now. And that's what I was hoping Zeke would do. Only what I wanted a player like Zeke to be able to come in and do was take on more of the first and second down work away from Jerome Ford. And I think Deontay Foreman can probably do some of that until Nick Chubb gets back from his injury. So that was 2022 in Carolina. Good year, best year ever for Deontay Foreman at 26 years old. Last year, 2023, was when he played for Chicago, played in 9 games. And unless I'm missing something out of my memory or from what I'm reading here, he was not injured last year. There was no injury in 2023. He was a healthy scratch. Remember, the Bears had their rotation of Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson. And then those guys would have injuries of their own. Herbert was on IR for a while. So Deontay Foreman was taking main reps. Either way, over those 9 games, he ended up with 109 carries, 425 yards, and 4 touchdowns, and he caught 11 catches for 77 yards and another score.
Other big news, well, honestly, maybe the most excited I've been this entire offseason so far, was the Browns going out, hiring Mike Vrabel to be a consultant.
Yeah.
I don't know. Somebody said, what is he going to do? I think he's just going to do a little bit of everything.
I heard a little more specifically, I think this did come out of the Browns when they were trying to elaborate on this. They said he's going to act primarily as a sounding board for Kevin Stefanski because Kevin's got a lot of new coaches on the staff, and he's going to kind of help mentor the younger guys like Tommy Rees and what's his name? I can't think of the guy's name.
We just got from UConn.
Yes, from UConn. And, you know, the younger guys who have not had any NFL experience yet whatsoever, And just Mike Vrabel, he's a personnel consultant as well, so bouncing ideas off of him about different players and things, I'm sure.
I heard that Stefanski was going to kind of use him as like a soundboard. Like right. You said, bouncing ideas off of. To some, I wanted to talk about this too. Like when the news initially broke, people were like, Vrabel, he's the Stefanski replacement. No, he's not. Stefanski's the two-time coach of the year. And he's been coach of the year 50% of the last four seasons.
Yep.
So no, he's not. I hate when people talk about Stefanski's ego. Nothing shows you don't have an ego by going out and hiring a hot up and coming candidate. And what I mean, like good coach. I don't mean hot. Bubba Ventrone's a good looking guy, but he was like a hot name in coaching in terms of an up and coming guy. You know what I mean? And you go get him. And then you go get a guy who's won a Super Bowl in Jim Schwartz. You put him on your staff to work for you. And then you put out one of the guys who was coach of the year in between the two times you were in a consulting role on your team.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you do all this before you've gotten your extension. So don't tell me he has an ego. He's very comfortable in his role. He knows he's not going anywhere. And he's just surrounding himself with a lot of guys who can give him different. He's not surrounding himself with yes men.
Correct. And that's the point I was going to make. Egotistical people do not surround themselves with people that are as smart or smarter than them. And they don't try to get the best minds in the room because they think they're the smartest person in the room. Kevin doesn't think that. He, like you said, last year, Jim Schwartz, and we heard the same bull crap about Jim Schwartz as soon as we hired him. Well, after four games, if Kevin isn't, 3-1, they're going to fire him and put Jim Schwartz ahead. No, guys, stop it. And now we're hearing the same crap about Vrabel. Maybe we're not afraid to get good coaches in here and good coaches want to come here. I mean, it's not like Vrabel had his hands tied behind his back and said, okay, I have to go to Cleveland. He wants to be here.
How a guy like Vrabel never in a million years would have showed his face in Cleveland 10 years ago.
You think he's coming here under Hugh Jackson?
No. And you want to know who had an ego, who wanted yes men? It was Hugh Jackson.
Exactly. And look how that worked out.
You know what I mean? Like, just go back and watch Hard Knocks. Mm-hmm. That is it. No accountability, only wants yes men. I'm the head coach. Everybody look at me. I'm the smartest guy. Whatever decision I make, I never want questioned. That was Hugh Jackson. I don't believe Stefanski is that way at all. We've talked to a player in the locker room who says he's a great guy and the team loves him. So this is not a Stefanski replacement. This is Stefanski showing I went everything at my disposal to put the best team on the field that I can.
Look how many guys have come back. If the coaching staff, you see it all the time. Free agents don't want to come back to teams where the coaching staff sucks. They're just like, thank God I'm out of there.
Yeah.
I'll go sign somewhere else and play there. I mean, we're getting our entire defensive line is coming back for the most part. Like, and seasoned veterans, Za'Darius Smith wants to be here.
Yeah, and he's been kind of a guy who's kind of been like one season here, one season. Yeah. Some people we heard when we signed him, like, good luck with him, his attitude. He's model citizen here.
And Jordan Hicks, I don't know if you saw, that dude is jacked to be here. He's very excited to be on this Cleveland Browns defense, playing for this coaching staff. So I keep telling people all the time, like on Twitter and stuff, you can drop the loser mentality that we as Browns fans had to have because the team sucked for so long, because that's not the situation anymore. It's okay to just say, hey, things are pretty damn good right now in Cleveland. Just enjoy it. This front office is just killing it right now.
Yeah, I completely agree. Somebody said Lamar, I was reading the wrong thing. Vrabel's biding his time here for a year till he takes over in Columbus. Here's the deal. This is the most excited I've ever been for a Buckeyes season. Going a little off the rails here, but we're all Buckeyes fans, I hope. And I've been down on Ryan Day, but he's got everything at his disposal. This is a make or break year for Ryan Day.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I think some of these other teams, like Bama just lost Saban, like some of these other teams are maybe weaker than they've been. I don't keep up with college recruiting and stuff like that. But I do know that Ohio State added an insane amount of talent in the portal and in recruiting. So I would love Vrabel to be in Columbus if Ryan Day fails. I want Ryan Day to succeed because that means we probably won a national championship this year.
Correct.
So I'm not rooting for the downfall of Ryan Day, but if it does happen, I would love for Vrabel to be back in Columbus.
This episode is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Browns fans, Easter is almost here, and what's everybody going to do for Easter? We're all getting together with family and friends, and we're going to have a great meal together. So why not make that great meal the best meal you can get with Omaha Steaks? They are doing their 50% off site-wide sale right now still. And if you go to omahasteaks.com/dogs, use promo code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, when you check out, you'll get $30 extra off your order. That's a great deal with the price of meat and food and everything so high right now. It's ridiculous. Get over there, get great food for great prices. And what I would suggest for Easter, go over to the menu, scroll down to other meats, go to the hams. And when you get in there, scroll down. I don't know why they have this stuff at the bottom of the page. Easter packages right here. Build your own custom Easter dinner for four. Build your own custom Easter dinner for eight. Create your own Easter dinner in general. Get everything you need. The ham, the sides, everything that you need for a great Easter meal is right here at Omaha Steaks. And with that code DOGS, you get $30 off your order. So go order everything for Easter right now. That way you're ready to go, you're prepared, and you don't have to worry about it. Enjoy Easter with your family. Take the stress out of figuring out what you're going to do. Get the food ready to go now. OmahaSteaks.com/dogs. Promo code DOGS. Get $30 off your order. Minimum order may apply.
I know you want to talk about the Flacco-Winston debate, which we haven't had a chance to talk about this since the last episode. So go ahead.
Well, I mean, we've been talking all offseason because it's been the topic of Joe Flacco for the Browns in 2024. And I feel like we've kind of had the conversation, the three of us on the show talking, I don't know if he comes back. I mean, we love what he did. It was great. It was a ton of fun. Just don't really know if he comes back. I mean, he's 39 years old, threw a shit ton of interceptions. Like, he just doesn't really fit the mold for what people don't remember. He was a last resort last year. And when we signed him, even we on the show were like, really, Joe Flacco? You know, and nobody expected him to come out and do what he did. So that's why whenever it kind of started with Mary Kay and the Cleveland media was cracking me up, because on Twitter, if you follow her at all, it was, she was pushing hard, hard to get Joe Flacco back in Cleveland. Everything that she wrote, it was all emotional, you know, opinion pieces about why the Browns need Joe, bring him back, all this stuff. And then it immediately turned to, well, it looks like the Browns might be signing Jameis Winston. And then she went back to like something about, oh, wait, no, we need Joe Flacco. Never mind, we signed Jameis Winston. And so she was back and forth trying to get her wishes, you know, completed through Andrew Berry, which didn't happen, obviously. And then Tony Grossi, I thought, was going to have a mental collapse online when we signed Jameis Winston. And it all started, so he tweeted this out. I don't know, he must have written this article real quick for Land on Demand, which, if you're paying for that, okay. But anyway, so his article was, Browns didn't even offer Joe Flacco the NFL minimum. And his post said, Browns didn't want shadow of Joe Flacco hanging over Deshaun Watson. Okay, dude, you need to maybe chill out a little bit. First of all, Deshaun Watson is a 3-time Pro Bowl quarterback making $230 million guaranteed over his time in Cleveland. There ain't no shadow big enough to hang over Deshaun Watson. I'm sorry. Just not happening. And so since then, though, he has changed that post on Twitter because he got a lot of backlash on that. But it was, whenever we announced Jameis Winston was signed, he just an incredible development. Okay, they were talking about for like 2 days before this that
if you didn't come back, he would have been back right away.
Yeah, exactly. And then can confirm Browns didn't even offer Joe Flacco a split minimum contract, which is even a worse offer than full minimum. Shake my head. The team season was saved last year by a backup quarterback. They won without Watson. Weren't you watching? And hang on. There's more of this too. I'm trying to go back through all his stuff because he was losing his mind. Oh, here we go. Quieting the if he's so good, how come nobody signs him crowd. Same deal the Browns gave to Winston whenever it came out that Joe Flacco was an $8.7 million, $4.5 million guarantee, which is basically the same as Jameis got.
We're bitching about a backup quarterback who's 39 years old.
Exactly.
And here's the deal is Flacco's success has more to do with Kevin Stefanski than it does with Joe Flacco. I don't want to take anything away from the guy, but he hadn't played like that ever.
No, and the Browns had to revert some offensive philosophies last year because we had, our running game was ass. The running backs weren't very good. The offensive line was, a lot of backups. I mean, things were decimated.
Yeah.
So Kevin and Joe just, it clicked at the right time in the right place. But I mean, Flacco actually got 500,000 more guaranteed than Winston. He'll also back up a dual threat quarterback. Is that really a scheme fit? You have no idea what the Browns scheme is. Guess what? Neither do they. I hope the Browns know what their offensive scheme is going to be. They brought in a freaking ton of different guys to develop this.
Well,
it just blows my mind.
And here's the thing. I actually got a text from my dad about it was a joke to sign Jameis and not Flacco. I was like, well, one, why? I said, Jameis can play. I'm not saying he's a perennial Pro Bowler, but Jameis Winston can play football at the National Football League. He's not 39 years old. And to everybody who loves Joe, he was a turnover machine. The only thing you rag on Jameis for is his turnovers. That was Joe Flacco. If you go back and watch the games, listen, I appreciate everything Joe is doing for us. He was playing with house money. He was just chucking it. You look at so many of his throws, and so many of them either could have been picked, should have been picked,
yeah,
and a ton of them were picked.
Yep. Yes.
You know what I mean? But he was just playing with house money. He's just out there winging it. And people were making plays like that. You're not gonna live and die with that. We're gonna change the system. Jameis Winston, for the record, threw for over 5,000 yards in one season and over 30 touchdowns. He threw 30 picks,
but still.
But what do you think Joe Flacco was on pace to? The guy that you just can't get enough of. So it's just, we are not bitching about a backup QB. We're bitching about the starting QB. No, you're not. I didn't hear anybody say we should have signed Flacco because he's going to be our starter. No, you're mad we signed Flacco or Winston over Flacco. No, and DW, like I said this a million times, I knew we weren't bringing Joe Flacco back because the fan base couldn't handle it. Why would you put this guy behind your starter, and then if your starter throws one bad pass, the entire crowd will lose their mind? If you wanted Joe Flacco back, then you as a fan base should have shown that you are mentally tougher than four-year-olds for the last 30 years.
And just remember, if you were demanding Joe Flacco come back and also that he be the starter over Deshaun Watson, how many Browns quarterbacks can go out in the wild card game and throw back-to-back pick sixes and
it still
be the fan favorite? Come on, guys.
Come on. You sound dumb. Again, if you're really that sad that the Flack, it's your fault. Because this is a fan base that has been slobbing on the knob of the backup quarterback of this team since I was born. There's been no more popular person than the backup quarterback in Cleveland. And I know Josh's camera went black. We've been having some technical issues. We were hoping to avoid them for the whole episode. But there we go. But yeah, you've been upset and you make it loud. The media is terrible. They'll write articles about the backup needs to be getting in. So yes, Deshaun Watson could handle Joe Flacco being on it because he's secure in his contract and he knows what he can do on the field. You are not secure enough. You would bitch and complain. You would be a distraction. And if you're the Cleveland front office, why would you do that to your starter? It's the same reason Tim Tebow's not on a team anywhere. Obviously, he's that older now, but immediately after he wins a game in Denver in the playoffs and they ship him out, nobody wanted him. He couldn't stick anywhere. It's because you want your backup to be a guy who can come in and play but when he's not in, you don't even want people to know who your backup is.
And the only time that you get a backup that might be a guy who could come in and play and maybe start for you is whenever you've got a quarterback competition.
Yeah. There's no competition here.
Zero.
So it's again, you don't. Why, if they put somebody a distraction on the team, all you would do is complain about how the front office is causing distractions and they don't know what they're doing and they're causing problems. There's no winning with some of you people.
And because, and I saw somebody post this too, and I fully agree. The Browns brought back Joe Flacco. The Cleveland shitty media would have been pushing that narrative all training camp.
Yeah.
To get Flacco in there to be the starter. Flacco was the savior. You know, forget about Watson. Get Flacco. The Cleveland media is this is where everything resonates from. Like all the discourse in the fan base and the hatred among people over stupid things.
It's the reason we have a podcast.
I've told people that. I said, because people will say, oh, I don't watch RBS anymore. I said, RBS was one of the main reasons why we started this podcast. Because we just couldn't stand it anymore.
Why do you two love DW4? We don't go back and watch like any episodes, and I've said he needs to play better. The problem is I'm just not a moron. I can think about football decisions critically and understand you don't bring back a distraction as your backup. You don't bring back a 39-year-old who led the league in turnovers in seven games, who it's a flash in the pan. And good for Joe Flacco. I agree with him, or I'm happy what he did, and I'm happy he went and got a contract, but he wasn't going to be a starter anywhere.
Right.
Okay. And it's more about the fact that Kevin Stefanski can just make a meal out of crap with these quarterbacks he's done. He did it with Baker for a season. He did it with Jacoby Brissett for a season. And he just did it with a combination of quarterbacks last year, and culminating in Joe Flacco. Yeah. It had way more to do with Kevin Stefanski than it does with Joe Flacco. Now, credit Joe Flacco. He went to a team that also has another great offensive mind. So if he has to go in, I'm sure Steichen will be able to.
Yeah, it'll work out. It'll be all right.
Do something with him. But yes, you don't put a distraction. You want a nameless gray face as your backup.
And the thing with Deshaun Watson, he's here. Like, he's going to be the starting quarterback for the Browns for a while. And I know there's a lot of people that are upset about that, but personally I'm not. And I see a lot of people that seem to be very, very confused and forgetting already that in 2022, he's never played a full season here. I know the Browns traded for him and signed him knowing he wasn't going to play a full season the first one.
Yes.
Like they were okay with that. Now, as a fan, you might not be okay with that, but the team was okay, fine. And then this year he broke his shoulder. Well, that sucks. But it's a fluke accident, man. I mean, you saw how many quarterbacks got injured this year, and it's only the second time he's had a injury that forced him to miss time in his career.
Yeah, nobody's talking crap about Joe Burrow.
Yeah, or Justin Herbert.
Joe Burrow's ended two of his four seasons on IR.
Lamar finished the last 2 years before this past one on IR.
Yeah, it turns out it's a contact sport. People get hurt.
Yeah, and the thing is, what I saw from Deshaun Watson as the games progressed, and I mean, I know we talk about that Ravens game all the time, but those are the kind of games that you need a quarterback with his capabilities. Do you think Joe Flacco's doing that? Coming back in that game and making 14 of 14 passes and not turning the ball over in the second half and leading the team to a comeback victory?
Considering he couldn't play a game without turning it over, I'd say no. I was so geeked when we got DW. Still believe he's the best quarterback the Browns have ever had. But even for me, it's time. Needs to happen this year. If not, it was a massive mistake. I agree with like 98% of what you said. This is a make or break year for me mentally, but it's again, like if it doesn't go well this year and he's hurt again or whatever, and then we go to the Super Bowl in the fourth year of his contract, nobody's going to remember this year.
Exactly.
So we have to reserve judgment. And I told my old man this, I won't grade the contract until the contract is done. And then two, even if worst case scenario at the end of the contract, it was awful. We never get anywhere. He's hurt most of his time. When he plays, it's not good enough. I'd still make the move 100 times out of 100 because I want my team to be aggressive, be ballsy, not be afraid to take the big swing, and to go out there and try to get better and win a Super Bowl. You're not going to do that sitting on your hands. Just like everybody who's complaining about it, you would have complained if we didn't upgrade.
Exactly. And you mentioned this earlier in the show already. The things that having Deshaun Watson on the team allows us to do is totally worth the move in and of itself. I mean, we have, and whether you agree with it or not, we have a franchise quarterback capable of playing at a high level. Other free agents want to come here and play.
Correct.
And that, even if he's hurt like last year and not on the field, guess what? Those guys who wanted to come here and play because he's here, they're still here on the field playing and winning games. And that's why we were able to do the things we were able to do last year. So we don't have to worry about the quarterback position in the draft or free agency or try to make a trade. Like the Browns are good. They don't, that position is taken care of. They don't have to worry about it. And as long as that one's taken care of, it makes all these other ones much easier to put together.
Yeah. I saw the biggest reasons I heard people, they didn't want the money. They don't like the money he got. It was going to cripple the franchise. Giving up all the picks was going to set our franchise back. Well, one, we have second most cap space in the league right now. Two, this is our last year without a first round draft pick, and our roster is still loaded. Yep. We're right back to having first round draft. We're literally back at square one next year.
Yeah.
And we're coming off an 11-win season. So all the reasons, all the football reasons I've heard why they didn't want the trade and we gave up too much, blah, 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 blah. None of it has come to fruition.
Nope. None of it's hurt us one bit.
So it's just people are just, they don't think. They read headlines and then they just react. Mm-hmm. Nobody thinks. Drives me nuts.
No, there's not a lot of critical thinking going on in society right now.
Like anywhere.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So Jameis Winston, again, just briefly, because I know I covered this last week after the Browns signed him, but he was the number one overall pick out of Florida State back in 2015. And when he was at Florida State coming out of high school and everything, he was also drafted by the Texas Rangers for the, you know, for Major League Baseball. So Jameis Winston is an athlete. He a multiple sport phenom. And I think it's important to understand why the Browns are bringing in Jameis Winston versus Joe Flacco. Go back to our live show from Tuesday night. We broke that down, talked about that, talked about the scheme, the system, the type of offense the Browns are looking to run under Ken Dorsey and all the new offensive coaches they brought in here in 2024. And Jameis Winston just fits that bill, but more than just his athletic capabilities. More than just his skill set, which the dude has a rocket arm, a very strong arm. He can move. He's mobile. He's not a mobile running quarterback. He's not a scrambler. But, you know, I think also Deshaun Watson kind of gets pigeonholed into he's a running quarterback. Deshaun Watson is not a running quarterback. He's not what I would categorize as a running quarterback. A running quarterback to me is your Lamar Jackson, where his running capability, what he can do with his legs is at least equal to, if not better than, what he can do with his arm. What Deshaun Watson does with his legs is nowhere close to what he can do with his arm. If you followed him at all throughout his entire career at Houston, the running ability is just a compliment to the way he plays quarterback, to the way he can throw the ball, to his arm talent. And that's the same with Jameis Winston. Not a running quarterback, but what he can do with his legs is merely a compliment to his passing capabilities. I mean, just look at his career, you know, early on when he was with Tampa Bay as the starting quarterback, 213 yards, 165, 135, 281, 250. So nothing extraordinary, nothing high end as far as a running quarterback you would expect the numbers to be. But still, those type of yardage numbers compliment what he, I mean, you think about tacking on 250 extra rushing yards in the same season where he threw 5,100 passing yards. The dude covered a lot of yards for the Buccaneers that season. So he is capable of making plays, extending plays, picking up first downs, those sorts of things. All right, so we'll take a quick look here at the first clip from his interview with Cleveland Browns Daily. He's asked about why he decided to sign with the Cleveland Browns versus any of the other teams that were looking to sign him. You know, why he didn't hold out longer for a potential starting job, all those sorts of things. And here's what Jameis had to say.
Well, it all started when I knew I was going to become a free agent, and I just got so sick and tired of great weather and beaches and music, and I said, like, what is the place?
Let me challenge myself.
Yeah, what is the place that I know that I can give my kids some snow, you know, for Christmas? Like ain't
or no, in but, March.
Well, no, but honestly, like, no, it's truly a blessing to be a part of the Dog Pound and to be on this radio show with y'all. But I've always admired just the history of Cleveland and what it encompasses, and to be able to be a part of that now is amazing. When you see how this team rallied together after significant injuries, you know, yes, on both sides of the ball, and they were able to do it with four quarterbacks, you know. So one, you know that the roster is one of the best rosters in the NFL. When you have a free agent signing that shocks the world, like Za'Darius Smith is joining Myles Garrett, yep, you know, last year, I think that shocked everybody, you know, when you have a fierce defense that know how to take the ball away, sure, and know how to stop the run, that's enticing for any quarterback. But also when you have the opportunity to impact and influence a young quarterback who you have admired for from afar and have competed against, it really was a no-brainer for me, opposed to, you know, obviously looking for opportunities to start.
Sure.
But knowing the head coach here, Kevin Stefanski, is able to win with his strategies and with his amazing ability to lead a team despite what they may grow through, you have to admire that.
So, I mean, If you've never heard Jameis Winston talk, if you don't know a whole lot about him prior to signing with the Browns last week, Jameis Winston is known for his personality. He sometimes almost gets labeled as kind of a weirdo in a way, which I never really understood, because all he is he's a fun-loving dude. He's a funny guy. He's got a great sense of humor. He's very witty. And you know, he's got some sound bites and some things that kind of go around, some memes and stuff like that, where he almost looks like a goofball. But that's just the way certain media people have portrayed him. But Jameis Winston is a very sharp dude. He's a very funny dude. And by all accounts, from everybody who's ever played with him, from all the teams he's been on throughout his, you know, through college till now, they love him. They love him. They love his attitude, his personality, the charisma, just the aura, the energy he brings to the NFL, to the team, to the locker room, all that kind of stuff. So just the comment at the beginning of, why did you come to Cleveland? Well, you know, I was getting kind of tired of the warm weather, the beaches. I thought, where can I get my kids some snow for Christmas? And, you know, just sitting down with a guy like that and having a conversation, he's a real guy. He's very down to earth. And, you know, I think if Browns media, Cleveland media, and the fan base, part of the fan base, I shouldn't say the fan base. I never mean to categorize everybody in the same group of the fan base, but the part of the fan base that just hated the signing because it wasn't Joe, if they can just get past Joe, if they can just get past that, they're going to love this guy. You are going to fall in love with having Jameis Winston on the team. And so are the players around him. And he, you know, I thought it was really important that, you know, he got the joke, the laughing, lighten the mood at the beginning of the interview. And then he said, no, but really, you know, it's a blessing to be here with Kevin Stefanski. I thought it was really, really important because there is still a portion of the fan base who is calling for some reason for Kevin to be fired. I will never understand that. The dude just won second coach of the year in the last 4 years. And Jameis cited Kevin as a very strong contributing factor to why he decided to sign here, and just Kevin's capability of showing that he can win with a decimated team. If you can win with all the injuries that we had in 2023 and make the playoffs still under those circumstances, imagine what you could do if you, and again, you almost have to luck into this as an NFL head coach. Ask any of them. What can you do if you are able to, if you're fortunate enough to make it through a season mostly healthy? Because you're never going to make it through healthy. You're going to suffer injuries. You're going to lose guys along the way. It's just the nature of the beast. It is what happens. But if you can keep your primary guys, for the most part, healthy all the way through, Kevin's the guy that can do some real damage. And Jameis recognized that, and he's excited to be here. He talked about the culture, and he talked about the defense and how he showed the signing of Za'Darius Smith last year as he said it was like a shock around the league of, wow, they just paired up Myles Garrett with Za'Darius Smith. They got both of these guys now going to be rushing the passer. And we talk about that all the time with Deshaun Watson and how even though he wasn't on the field last year, his impact on the roster, the building of the team that we saw in 2023 went throughout the entire season because guys like Za'Darius Smith might not come to Cleveland if Deshaun Watson isn't the quarterback. And I know there's people out there who don't like Deshaun Watson, don't think he's good, or you know, you have your own reasons for not liking him, whatever the case may be. But the fact remains that players in the league like Deshaun Watson and Jameis Winston even said the opportunity to come here and work with a younger quarterback, because Jameis is 30, Deshaun's 28. So they're not like he's that much younger than Jameis. They're roughly the same age. But Jameis was also in the league for 2 years before Deshaun came in. So Jameis was already getting his feet wet as the number one overall pick, a rookie quarterback, a second year quarterback in the league. He's watching Deshaun Watson in college light it up, you know, beat Alabama. Like, actually, that's the next clip. But anyway, beat Alabama in the national championship and all this kind of stuff. And he's always admired Deshaun Watson and, you know, the opportunity to work together. It's going to be a really, really good thing for the Browns. It's going to be a good thing for both of these guys. And it's going to be a good thing for you as a fan. You're going to benefit from this because there's going to be improved production, improved team morale, improved winning opportunities. It's all good from here having Jameis Winston on the team. Hey, Browns fans, this is Josh, and I really appreciate you guys tuning in to these Dog Bites. It's kind of like our Saturday release, just recapping everything that's been going on during the previous week. And now I just want to give you guys a little taste of what we talk about sometimes on our After Hours podcast. If you want to hear the full episode, if you want to hear all the bonus episodes every week that we do the After Hours show, it's jointhedogs.com. Become an official Dog Pack member. You get access to every single one of these episodes on the After Hours podcast. We're 120, 130 episodes into this podcast now. So we've been doing it for a long time. It's a ton of fun. And if you haven't checked it out yet, now's the time to do so. You get a 7-day free trial and go watch as many as you want to on that 7-day free trial. And if you like what you see, if you want to stick around in the Patreon and continue to support the show, we appreciate it. And you also get access to the private Discord. So it's just a ton of fun. Jointhedogs.com. Become an official Dog Pack member. Here's the clip.
By the way, did you see the trailer for The Acolyte?
I haven't watched the trailer itself. I saw it was out.
I saw the trailer today.
Look cool?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's going to be Vader. Like Vader's hunting Jedi.
Did you see?
Or something along those lines. Like... It looks awesome.
A Darth Vader show coming out in 26, I think I saw.
Oh, really? Because I did see a thing about Hayden Christensen playing Darth Vader again, and yeah. I thought it was in The Acolyte.
Maybe it is, and then because the next one's called like Vader, it's called a Darth or a Star Wars story. So maybe it's actually a movie, I guess. I didn't even really look into it.
I've been saying this with John forever, that I would love a rated R Star Wars movie where it's Vader after episode 3, pre A New Hope, hunting Jedi.
Yes.
The only problem is if it's rated R, I guess. I don't know. There are Star Wars comics and I don't know how gritty they get, but nothing in Star Wars has ever been like that dark. But I feel like Vader, pure evil Vader hunting Jedi could be very dark.
Rogue One kind of teetered on that at the end, where he was just walking through the gauntlet of people, just murdering people.
That's a scene. That is an ending to a movie. The Vader scene, gets me bricked like every time.
It's pretty awesome.
And then I just watched the Batman again.
Oh,
and the scene where he goes back to the Iceberg Lounge and it's completely dark, and you can only see him fighting when the machine gun fire is going off.
That's really cool too. That's a cool scene.
Yes, I'm a sucker for like good cinematography.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com. We'll be right back.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.